Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, my friends, we are live. It is Columbus Day, the 10th day of October 2011. On this live Monday edition, we're going to be here for the next 3 hours live. Then, of course, back tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, for InfoWars Nightly News. And we're working on getting a whole bunch of different guests on the Nightly News tonight, but that'll be a surprise. And we've got some really big guests coming up throughout the week. Also, one of my favorite and also extremely famous musicians is saying he's probably going to come visit me next week or the week after and stay at my house here in Austin. And that musician, if that does happen, will be in studio with us. So I'm extremely excited about that coming up next week. Certainly a lot of people out there are awake and waking up even further and waking up others around them. It is extremely exciting. And it was so wonderful. I didn't talk enough about this yesterday because I'm just so poleaxed by it. So lightning struck by it, that it's just so good to see the liberty and the burning spirit of freedom in the eyes of anti-Federal Reserve demonstrators calling for an end of the private banking dictatorship over the United States and the world at the big successful event in Dallas, Houston, and then in the pouring rain in San Antonio yesterday. Just incredible. It was so good seeing all of you out there. And I'd like to open the phones up for people that are protesting the Federal Reserve and calling for a return of the Glass-Steagall Act and for the Federal Reserve to be audited and then abolished. I'd like to talk to people who have been at Occupy Wall Street events. Specifically, if you've been at In the Fed events or Occupy Wall Street events, and you know, clearly now the Democrats have tried to co-opt the entire Occupy Wall Street movement. That was my point a few weeks ago, is I don't want to see it turned in to just more class warfare and a call for collectivism that we've been seeing. And now that's definitely how the liberal and conservative mainstream media have framed it. But is that really what's happening on the streets? We see a lot of people that are part of the Occupy Wall Street movement that are awake right now. But we also see the unions and others coming in, and clearly, at least as far as media coverage, taking it over. And I did see some Occupy Dallas people that were upset with us, somehow thought that, you know, occupying the Fed was the wrong thing, but others from their group came over and understood what we were doing. I know that there was some Occupy Houston people that were big supporters of ending the Fed, but also a few at first that thought that, you know, that we weren't on their side till I explained we were. And then in Occupy the Fed in San Antonio, Matt Medina has been hanging out with them for several weeks, and it was grassroots. And a week ago, he was telling us they were great until MoveOn.org came in and did take it over. And they said, no Ron Paul, no Alex Jones. In fact, we have an interview from In the Fed yesterday in San Antonio, powerful, with Matt Medina, that if I can get it culled out of all the hours of video we have that we'll be airing tonight. The guy that knows where everything is Rob Dew, but I told him go ahead and take the day off because he hadn't seen his children in 3 days. So Rob Dew, who I took to do camera work and who heads up InfoWars Nightly News, he's not here. And we've kind of got a skeleton crew today, but we're going to try to dig through all that incredible footage and bring that to you on the Nightly News tonight. And, of course, more by tomorrow here on the radio. I have a correction to make also, and I'll play the video again. The headline is, police admit that the Federal Reserve is private. But after I watched the video, you know, you're there, you do the interview. I told Dew, hey, get it ready when we got back yesterday afternoon to do the Sunday show. I said, go get the footage of those cops ready admitting the Federal Reserve is private. And then by the time I watched it for the first time when we aired it, you watched it for the first time through a camera, not through my own eyes, the cops, like, I don't know if it's federal or not. And he goes, is it, Captain? And the captain says, yeah, it is private. We are private. That was the head of Federal Reserve Security. I've since checked his name. And so that wasn't a cop. The Federal Reserve Security admits they're private. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Columbus Day 2011 on this 1010 transmission. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Obviously, I am your host, Alex Jones. I want to run down some of the top stories and big developments taking place in our nation and across the globe. We're going to have Kurt Haskell popping in for about one segment today. He's the lawyer who survived the Christmas Day underwear bombing now almost 2 years ago, along with his wife, and saw the underwear bomber being gotten on the plane by the sharp-dressed man and ordering them to let him on without credentials. Of course, then it came out a month and a half later that indeed the U.S. State Department had been ordered to give him a visa and get him on the aircraft without a passport. That was confirmed. The underwear bomber was gotten on the plane by the U.S. government, and he has now been at the trial and has talked to the standby lawyers and others who do believe it is a staged event and that Mutalib is either completely mentally ill, under mind control, or has had his family threatened. He's saying, I don't want the lawyers. I did it. That's the way it is. I don't want to discuss the people that got me on the plane. I don't want to talk about it. Just like McVeigh told other people on death row with him, yeah, they're going to kill my family if I don't say I did this. And, of course, we have Jane Graham from the federal building, the head of HUD, who saw McVeigh with known federal agents putting what she thought was telephone wire in the day before the attack, along with a bunch of other witnesses. Of course, those witnesses had to be killed, police officers and others like Terrence Yakey. Oh, but the government, Holder wouldn't do something like that. He was the deputy head of the Justice Department at the time. His emails and lawsuits have been released where he talks about this is a D-Day situation, maximum alert. We've got to get down to Oklahoma City and cover this up. I've shown those emails here on air. They've come out in major newspapers a few years ago, thanks to lawsuits by Jesse Trinidad, the lawyer, trying to find out why they tortured his brother to death. Well, they thought he was John Doe number two. He looked just like him. Picked up at a border, internal border checkpoint and drug off to be tortured to death. And the same Holder caught now, shipping, in one case, 2,000 guns directly to the Sinaloa cartel. Of course, you remember, let me just turn off this fan. They put a nice air filter in here, even though I didn't request it, and it's always on when I start the show. I don't know, it must automatically turn on its own, because that... Every day I got to go turn that off. I hear like Darth Vader breathing in the background. It's that air filter over there. Going back to what I was saying here. This is the same Eric Holder who has been caught. You see, when they started getting caught 6 months ago or so, when their own agents said, I'm angry, something's fishy here. We were ordered to go tell gun shops to set up cameras and then surveil people coming in and buying guns. When CBS News broke that, it was because they knew that there was a whole rebellion going on inside the ATF to these crimes, and that it was starting to come out in federal court separately, that it was really an Iran-Contra type deal with cocaine allowed to be shipped in and guns shipped in to Sinaloa and others for a drug war by the Federal Reserve against cartels not laundering their money through the big globalist banks. I mean, if you go back over 6 months ago, if you go back in February, I guess 8 months ago, you will read PrisonPlanet.com articles by Paul Watson about the federal court hearings where the feds were declaring national security concerning cocaine and different drug cartels authorized to bring the cocaine in. And then separately, the media reports, oh, by the way, the same cartels that are being sent the guns. And this is really starting to come out. I was listening to Beyond the Beltway, big syndicated Sunday night news show with what is his name, Bruce Dumont or whatever. I met him once, pretty nice guy. And he was saying, oh, this Fast and Furious, it goes a lot deeper than just guns, as we've seen in some of the Chicago papers. This is going to be coming out. The White House isn't going to get away with this one. But he didn't go forward and tell you what's in the El Paso Times or the Houston Chronicle or the Honolulu Advertiser. These are a few of the papers that have had the courage to report on this stuff 6-8 months after we did. And I'm not tooting our horn. The Narcosphere, Narco News, there's all these other sites that were reporting on it at the same time as us as well. And our listeners ferreting through the federal court cases and sending us emails pointing out the different filings in the federal docket and Homeland Security, Justice Department declaring national security. So we have a president with an attorney general who, quote, said, get down to Oklahoma and cover this up. Cover it up, because cops showed up in the Oklahoma Police Department and said, why are you ATF 30 seconds after the blast? Why are you all in your bomb gear? And why are you ordering ambulances that are showing up to put bandages on you and say you were on the 9th floor? What's going on here? By the way, you guys were doing a drill here yesterday. What's going on? And the cops all saw the bombs being removed that didn't go off because McVeigh and others didn't wire them right inside the building. McVeigh, of course, was angry. He knew he was deep cover and was supposed to be setting up militias and right-wing groups. He'd been sheep-dipped special forces. And he wasn't as smart as Ahmad Salam, who a few years before Oklahoma City was hired by the CIA. He was an Egyptian security force agent trained in the U.S. to cook the bomb, train the driver. First, it was going to be a fake bomb. Then it was going to be a real bomb with fake detonators, then real detonators, because they needed that to really bust the group. And he was leading the group. And then he found out they were going to set him up, so he recorded them saying, go ahead with the bombing, and was smart enough the day after the first World Trade Center bombing to come out and say this was all a big setup and to release the tapes. And it was in CBS News and New York Times. Or he would have been on the news as the mastermind, as the McVeigh, as the Bin Laden, as the Lee Harvey Oswald. Remember that when you work for these globalists. They're always going to set patsies up, usually their own agents. Like Muhammad Atta, we know he was trained at U.S. bases. The head of the Defense Language School went public and said, this guy trained in my school out in Monterey, California. Colonel Butler was told to shut up or he'd be court-martialed. We know even Time Magazine reported they were trained at bases. We know they were taking part in security drills in the months before, getting on and off planes. We know James Woods, the actor, saw it and reported it, was told, don't talk about this. It's always the same. And so you've got the same attorney general, who was the deputy attorney general at the time, caught. They only had the cameras inside the gun shops to later claim that it was drug cartel people coming in to buy guns. And that they were just tracking it and showing how the Second Amendment was causing the problems in Mexico. The truth was it was ATF agents and informants from other branches, unknown to the other ATF, coming in and buying thousands and delivering them, as we reported 6 months ago, and as the Mexican TV reported 3 months ago. It's been all over Mexican national TV. Their own police coming out now and saying this cartel works for the U.S. government. They're being protected. They ship the guns directly into Mexico. So, see, they hope that ISA can control this and just keep this about, oh, my goodness, they screwed up on this sting, and Holder lied to us and about the fact that he knew. Of course he knew. He gave a speech 2 years ago about Fast and Furious. The memos have come out, the minutes of his meetings. Of course he lied, and Holder is going to continue to lie. Because Sinaloa has filed in federal court that 5.5 years ago, they had this deal going with the FBI, ATF, DEA, Coast Guard, Border Patrol. That's why when I drive through a Border Patrol checkpoint 98 miles into the U.S., like I did 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, and the guy says, mind if I search your car? And I go, I look at him and I say, it's well known. The U.S. government ships in the drugs. I mean, I'm not playing along with your stupid games anymore where you're all pulling me over and you got any drugs. Gee, I don't know. Do I have any of what the government ships in, hoping I'm dumb enough to use it so you can throw me in a big private bank-owned private prison owned by drug dealers? You got to love this thing. The drug dealers ship the drugs in. They make it illegal to jack up the price. The public goes out and robs everything to buy the overpriced drugs, to pay the tax money for the drugs into the Federal Reserve. It's an unofficial tax. And then if you're dumb enough to be caught using it, they put you in one of their private prisons. And there's been big studies we've covered here on air where the big four private prisons are owned and subsidiaries of the big Federal Reserve mega banks that are the drug launderers. Man, these drug dealers have got it figured out. They sell you their product, they keep it illegal to keep the price up, and then they put you in their prisons, and then SWAT teams bust down doors and go to the wrong houses and kill people all the time looking for drugs that the federal government shipped in through client cartels. That's how you bring down a society. That's full-spectrum dominance. That's just how terrorism works. A lot of times the terrorists don't even know they're funded by Western corporations and the Pentagon, but it comes out over and over again they are. Pentagon, Federal Reserve money goes directly to jihadis and little villages where their mommy and daddy got killed by a drone and they're ready to kill and they never know their whole attack is financed right through to the point. Why? Because the globalists need to have a tax on the West to take our liberties and to have a pretext to keep invading these countries. Now you see full spectrum dominance, not this side against that side. Full spectrum, three-dimensional analysis. That's how the whole world works. It's all a big play, and I'm not taking part in it. You understand that? I'll give you the rest of the news, the phone number to call in, and more when we come back. Stay with us. All right, I'm going to finish up with Fast and Furious. Then I'm going to get into some other news and give the phones out. Phone number out for people that have been at In the Fed demonstrations or at Occupy Wall Street demonstrations to give us your take on what's happening in this country. Now, I got criticized back when I said, look, the mainline Republicans are trying to take over the Tea Party. And then when they were somewhat successful, not totally successful, I would then be, you know, told by the official Tea Party people, Alex Jones, you're not welcome in a movement that myself and other Ron Paul supporters started more than 4 years ago. That's the type of garbage that I put up with on a routine basis. And it's the same thing here. I understand Wall Street's been taken over by corrupt interest. That is who dominates this country in a general sense. Most of Wall Street's free market and great, and is preyed upon by the big brokerage firms, the mega insurance companies that are openly owned by the big six mega banks and their subsidiaries. So the establishment's very good, though, at spinning what we've said and what we've done. I come out a few weeks ago and I say, look, I've been looking at this. MoveOn.org, Democratic operatives, Al Gore calling for Arab Spring, George Soros connected groups. They want to make revolution about class envy, class warfare, playing the poor and disenfranchised off against the middle class instead of against the monopoly capitalist. The crony operatives, the mafia types. And that's all this is. And sure enough, it's happened again. Sure enough, listening to mainline talk radio, there every one of these Occupy Wall Street people is a dirty commie and evil and horrible and Wall Street's perfect and blah, blah, blah. Nothing about the Federal Reserve. And Herman Cain, the former head of the Federal Reserve, Kansas City, he will save us with a new sales tax paid to the bankers, which is their global plank to set up world government. Every country have VAT and sales taxes paid to them. Europe's expanding it right now to, quote, pay off what they owe because banker operatives, central bank operatives have gotten the countries to sign on to their fraudulent derivatives debt. I mean, it's all happening according to their plan. Sure, we got a lot of folks awake, and sure, the Republicans haven't been fully able to take over the Tea Party. The Democrats haven't been able to fully take over the other opposition movement, the Occupy Wall Street, but they're trying. They're trying, and it doesn't matter if they don't take it over in reality, because the way they cherry-pick the interviews on NPR and CNN and MSNBC, isn't it great? The demonstrators want a $20 minimum wage and free health care and free college and free everything and an end to the rich and a redistribution of wealth led by Warren Buffett. and Al Gore and the Federal Reserve is in solidarity with them and feels their pain. And then the right is led by Herman Cain going, the Federal Reserve's your friend. Why, if you aren't rich, it's your fault. No discussion. No discussion about tens of trillions of dollars in bailout money to the private Federal Reserve shareholders. No, I just get to hear Herman Cain go, look at you dirty, lazy people out there wanting some government money. This literal gangster of the New World Order pushing new taxes. The feds over sales taxes nationwide. Can you? I told you for 16 years this was coming. And I told you when they got time for it, they were going to keep the income tax and the Social Security. They're going to rename them. You're going to have an income tax, a Social Security tax, and a sales tax, and probably a VAT on top of it. The 999 program. Make me throw up nine times nine. Flip those 999s over, you get 666. Man, I tell you, I know every one of their games. I know every one of their playbooks, and it isn't even hard. That's what's frustrating about it. We start knocking down Perry, exposing his record, up pops Kane. He gets number three in a state, number two in Florida. Boom, they say he's the winner. He goes to number one overnight. Ron Paul's been the number two or three position for 6 months. If they'd have just said he was the winner, he'd be in the number one position. But they've got to have Ron Paul lookalikes. And to the untrained mainline middle America conservative constitutionalist, Herman Cain looks good. He talks a good talk on the Second Amendment, talks a good talk on a few other issues, but at the end of the day, he is a corporatist. I mean, he comes from the top of the pyramid, right out of the Federal Reserve. Herman Cain is super bad news. But Republicans are not racist, by the way, on average. I've grown up a white person, grown up around a bunch of Republicans. They are guilt-ridden, just like liberals, and they want to elect a black man. Bad. Just like Democrats did. To, like, prove something. But it won't matter once Cain gets up there, because they'll make it all about him being black instead of about the issues. Believe me, if they had a Ron Paul that was black, the globalists would kill him deader than a hammer in 2 seconds flat. And there are black Ron Pauls out there. All right. They need to step to the plate, though. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm going to break it all down. Stay with us. Free number. We don't normally screen your calls, but occasionally I say I'd like people to call in on a specific subject. Are you part of Occupy Wall Street? Do you agree with my analysis, with the predictions we made about this movement? Or do you disagree? Or do you have another point you want to make? Have you been part of the In the Fed events, now spontaneously popping up all over the country? My dad just called me right before I went back on air a minute ago and said, there's some In the Fed demonstrations in Austin tonight, and that he's heard of others around the country. And he said he texted it to me, but I didn't have time to read it yet, so I'll tell you more about that as it develops. But I'm seeing now In the Fed stuff just happening all over the country. And sometimes there's 10 people, sometimes there's 500. I mean, this is exciting. We need to go after the big six mega banks that have been orchestrating the Ponzi scheme to bankrupt this country by design. I mean, I know for a fact the private Federal Reserve goes into local areas and recruits the local wealthy and kind of gives them inside cues and things on how they can avoid what's happening. And I talked to a fella who was at the Houston In the Fed thing Saturday, and he said the name of it. It's one of the big chain funeral homes down there, and you know, that's big money. And he said, yeah, my grandpa owns this big funeral home chain. He got invited to this Houston branch of the Fed, and they had the Fed economist there and told him, this is in confidence, in a dark room with like 20 people, and said, this is how you protect yourself from the coming collapse. And, well, people need to speak out about that. That's how the Federal Reserve has gotten America to go along with this. They go to your local wealthy people who aren't part of the elite but are at that next level, because the elite know if they don't have the wealthy nouveau riche, the new wealth, they won't get it through. So much of what the CFR, the Federal Reserve, does is about recruiting anybody who pops up. I mean, look, I'm not special that when I was 22 years old and had just been on air for about a year, I had high power Democratic Party operatives calling me. I had Republican Party operatives calling me. They'd say, well, this will be an off the record dinner. And I, you know, as a journalist, I learned that quick, even taking community college, don't give up the source. And then they would just be like, you know, Bill Clinton's good. You ought to come be part of the Democrats. You know, we'll really make you go far. Same thing with the Republicans. It wasn't that I was special. I knew enough about history then to understand that. They were going around to anybody stuck their head up. They come to you and they say, you want to join this, be part of the winning team. The analogy of that is They Live, where Rowdy Piper, you know, gets under the city and sees the aliens that are taking over society, you know, dressed in their suits. And you can only see them if you're wearing your sunglasses. And it's all a bunch of humans in there. It's all the humans that teamed up with them to sell everybody out. That's the analogy. And you put the sunglasses on, you know, Rowdy Piper's got to beat up the black guy that he befriends to finally make him put the sunglasses on. My dad's calling again, over and over again. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Okay, it's in Dallas. Well, I couldn't tell. It was 15 seconds before I went live, and you were saying, okay, I got to go. Thanks. Man, I tell you, I got to start keeping this phone outside out there. It just rings off the hook. Will you guys come get this and just get it out of here? And Kurt's out here with an obvious question. Come on in, Kurt. Not mad at my dad calling. It's just that I could tell if he's calling up like five times earlier. And then again, here you go. He's excited about it in the Fed. What's going on, Kurt? I just want to know what they got. They say the name of it. They say the name on the video. In fact, Kurt, just come on in since we're doing this now. Let's just have a discussion in here right now. Go ahead and wheel Kurt a chair in. Go ahead and wheel him a chair in here. This is what goes on around behind the scenes around here. We can go ahead and go to this camera over here if it's hooked up, or to that camera right there is probably the robot we want to go to over there on Kurt. Kurt Nemo in studio with us. This is what happens around here. I ran back during the break to his office on the other side of our aircraft carrier-sized office, and I went over there and I said, listen, we've made a mistake. We've got to correct it, but it's a good mistake. And so I said, I want a headline that head of Federal Reserve Security admits Fed is private. Because yesterday I was there live in the thick of it in San Antonio, where 150 people or so showed up in the pouring down rain. I want to salute all of you from 10 a.m. to noon. And I got back to Austin about 2 o'clock and got up here to get ready for the show. And I told Rob Dew, I said, before you go home, please get me the clip of the cops admitting that the Federal Reserve was private and we had to get off their private property. Now, when the video then got loaded and already named on YouTube as police admit Federal Reserve is private, once I saw it on air, I realized that, and the reason I've got Kurt here is I'd have to tell him this later, so he's just here getting it right now, and we're going to talk to Kurt about it in a moment, because Kurt immediately saw this is bigger than even the cops saying it's private. We know it's private, but the sheeple were taught for decades by neocon talk show hosts and other that the Fed was federal and that we were liars, and they've got police APBs out and special training manuals saying it is federal. Those that say it isn't are evil. You know, they tell cops this. So I was being laughed at the Dallas Fed by some of the cops saying it was private, even though they had signs up saying private property, keep out, with a big cage around it. I was there trying to expose all of this. And so as soon as I air it yesterday, because remember, I saw it myself live, not on tape. And there's people yelling, screaming. The cops show up. One of them in San Antonio police uniform. And you get used to head cops in plain clothes. That's how it was in Dallas. The head lady cop out there commanding them around, she was public affairs, I guess. You know, she was in plain clothes and looked like, you know, dressed like the security guard head of the Fed. So we air it and say police know it's federal. And I even say on the video we're going to play here in a moment, I say, Well, wow, you guys know this is private? Cops usually laugh at me about that because your training manuals say it's federal and we're liars. And the San Antonio cop, who's some type of officer, you can see it on his shoulders. I guess we can look it up, Kurt, and find out. I think he was a captain as well or something, or a lieutenant. I think somebody called him a lieutenant. But the point is, I didn't really pay attention. I run over because I'm told, I'm around the corner doing an interview with Matt Medina that we're going to air later about how Occupy San Antonio didn't want us there and doesn't like Ron Paul and, you know, basically told him, yeah, we do just want socialism now. At first, they weren't like that a week and a half ago, but now Move On's running it. They're like, we don't want to talk about the Fed, like Michael Moore said. We want to end capitalism, which is exactly what the monopoly Fed's goal is.
He not only said that they didn't want to talk about it, he said it was irrelevant.
He said it was irrelevant. Move that mic closer to you. And we're going to go to Nemo in a moment, then I'm going to give you the number. But just giving you how big this is, okay, before we play this clip. We're interviewing Medina around the corner under the eave of the Federal Reserve building that looks like a federal building. It's designed to look like a big post office. Gothic federal seals, Gothic lettering, Gothic building, says federal on it. And we're surprised because in Houston and Dallas, the cops showed up. There's no cops there an hour and a half into it. But we see security people up in the windows, up on the third or fourth floor, looking down on us and waving at us. So I'm interviewing Medina. And all of a sudden they go, hey, the cops are here. They're saying it's private property. We got to go. So the idea is, oh, cops are here. So I run around the other side, and you've seen that footage. And I come over to the police officer, the San Antonio police officer in his uniform. And I say, this is private? I heard you just said it's private. And he goes, you've got to ask Captain such and such. And the name's on the video. And I actually looked it up and found that name is the head of Federal Reserve Security down there. You can call him too, but that is the head of security. And he says, yes, this is private. Please get off the property. If you want to know more, you can call our Dallas head office, which is the head of these four states, of all the Federal Reserve branch banks. That's the head Federal Reserve where we were Friday. And so then we say, okay, we'll leave. We agree. We know it's private. And they leave. But I say to the cop, well, officer, you ought to investigate this. Look, it masquerades as a federal building. It says it's federal. It's got what looks like federal seals on it with, you know, eagles. I said, you ought to investigate. And the cop's smiling, going, yeah, you're right. Because the cop at first wasn't really smiling. If you watch this video, and when the head of the Federal Reserve, the head of security says it is private, the cop gets this look and goes, what? Because all these years, you know, this head cop, high-level officers, getting the same manuals police have given us where they're told we're liars. Ron Paul's a liar. You know, they tell the Army the Federal Reserve is federal and that we're lying kooks. And so here's this cop, the sunglasses are going on. Here's the head of security of the Federal Reserve telling him, no, we're private. Now get off. And the cop starts smiling, going, what? All these years he's been told that.
Right.
I mean, I had the Dallas cops laughing at me, going, you know, and I'm saying, this is not federal. They're like, I'd hear him listen to this guy, man. And I'm like, but the sign says private. Because they'll have to admit they're being lied to. That's what I mean, folks. It's such a fraud. Fake federal buildings with fake federal seals on it. Of course the cops can't believe we're telling the truth. Because when you admit we're not lying and that we told you the truth, then the dominoes start to fall and you realize you were bamboozled. It's embarrassing when you get conned. You know, when you go to a magician show, you know, my kids like to go to those sometimes. You know, you tell your kids up front, now this isn't real. But a 5 or 6 year old will come out and say, Dad, are you sure that wasn't real? They weren't shoving swords through that lady? Or, you know, he didn't really pull that rabbit out? You got to tell him, no, it's sleight of hand. Don't be like children, America. Now we're going to play this clip in a moment. But when I ran this morning and said, we got to correct this, I've watched it a bunch. I've checked the name. That's the head of Federal Reserve Security. That's the Fed. The head of their security says, call our head Dallas office. That's the guy who'd been upstairs and came down. That's the guy whose silhouette we could see up there waving at us. He was there saying, get off the private property. How big is this, Kurt?
Well, it's pretty big. Usually federal buildings have signs saying this is federal property. And then this didn't say that. And he said it was private. So there you go. You have an admission from the head of security that it's not part of the federal government.
Now, Dew hadn't seen his kids in 3 days. And I guess he's a better father than I, because I hadn't really either, but I'm here. But Dew stayed up here late last night getting all the photos ready off his camera where it says private property with signs they stuck up behind the fences they built in Dallas and then right behind it, Federal Reserve with the fake seals. We need to dig that up off of his hard drive or whatever, but I'll try to get John in there to find it. That's why we need more crew, folks. We need you to buy the books, buy the videos, buy the tapes, buy the t-shirts, buy the high-quality water filters, buy our products, because then I will hire more reporters. I will hire more video editors. A lot of times we can't even get the news out because a holiday comes up and somebody's got to see their kids.
And this stuff's coming at us so fast.
It's coming at us so fast. Kurt, what's it like?
It's crazy around here.
You write like 8 articles sometimes a day without me even telling you to.
Right, because it's just so much information.
You've got to tell people.
Because if you wait more than 24 hours, it's gone. It's irrelevant, as they would say. Irrelevant, like irrelevant is the Federal Reserve.
Well, again, we've got to dig out. We've got videos. We've got it on YouTube, but it's shot off the iPhone and uploaded right then, you know, where they're admitting it's private and get back, the cops in Dallas. The head cop saying, yeah, it's private, get back. Then the other's laughing when we tell them it's private. I mean, it's just total doublethink. You know, it's private, but it's not, Kurt.
Well, there you go. There's the admission right there. They admitted it. Of course, they admit it anyway. They will admit it if you ask them that it's not part of the federal government.
But you remember 10 years ago they wouldn't.
Well, no.
Do you remember like Rush Limbaugh saying, you know, the CFR, it doesn't exist?
Right.
Now he says it doesn't have any power. Or that the Federal Reserve is federal and, then, you know, people calling about it, oh, you're kooks.
Yeah, push come to shove, they have to admit it's not a federal agency. That's all there is to it.
You know, you might add to the clip, too, you know, a few videos where what's his name? Greenspan, a couple years ago on PBS, Larry NewsHour, says, well, we are an agency of our own, and no one can investigate us. We are above the law. He says, like Cheney said, the vice president's his own branch. So they're trying to become government. That's what this Euro deal is with the European Central Bank. Same shareholders. They're saying, now countries can never leave the euro, and you'll do whatever we say financially in this financial union. That's what they're always after, is that government power. So instead of just masquerading as feds or as government or as sovereign, now they are actually trying to become it.
Right. What they're trying to do is consolidate the euro, and then that way strip all those countries of their sovereignty.
They admit it.
They admit it, yes.
They go on Larry NewsHour and all these shows and brag about it. Well, we're going to go to break with this video clip from In the Fed and in San Antonio. This is big news. And so we got to go into the YouTube channel and change the headline from police admit it's private to head of Fed security admits Fed will reserve private. Here's that video.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I'm Alex Jones.
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. Can you just repeat? You're saying this is private property?
I don't know. This is the captain.
Sure, go ahead,
yes,
sir.
This is the property of the Federal Reserve right here.
I just need private, you to go though. It's back. Not federal, right?
Yeah, private property. Okay. I need you to go back to the public street.
Side. You know what? It is private property. I think you're right. We will get off. You're absolutely right. Let me just ask you this one question, and I'm going to ask everybody to move off the private property of the Federal Reserve. Doesn't this look like a post office, and it's got federal seals on it? It says Federal Reserve. It's like counterfeiting or something. It'd be like if people opened up a...
No, the Fed doesn't counterfeit, do they?
I think that's something police ought to investigate.
Yeah, really.
I mean, just down the road. Doesn't this kind of look weird? It's a federal building, but it's not federal.
I mentioned that to them. They said that
there was nobody
inside of it, Alex.
It's not a federal building.
It's a
10 years ago, cops were laughing about that. I'm excited you know.
However, you're welcome to call our public affairs or call our head office in Dallas and speak with them.
No, sir, you've been super nice. You're right. Some people thought it was like a park because it looked like a post office. You're right. This is private property. We better get off. We better go. Hey, guys, well, they do get our tax money, and they do control everything.
Enslave us!
I mean, sure, they are the slave masters, but see, that you heard the police officer. He's right. This is private property, so we want our private property. Now, it's private property of a mafia, of a criminal cartel, but nevertheless, it's their private property for now, and until they're indicted and in prison, we won't, and until, you know, we finally get the audit, and the Congress raids all the material, we're gonna respect their private property until then. So let's get off the private property of the Federal Reserve right now. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's go. Let's get off the private property.
2 days earlier in Dallas, we made a similar discovery at the Fed.
Here protecting our First Amendment. And I wonder how many of these police officers can read on the sign, Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, federal, but right here it says private property. Does that sound like fraud to you? Private property, Federal Reserve? Can't you investigate it? There's the criminals right there.
Yeah!
officers, I have a question for you. You're here guarding the private offshore Rothschild Bank, the Federal Reserve, from evil Americans. Evil Americans. I know you get the Homeland Security reports saying those who don't like the Federal Reserve are evil. I've read the Homeland Security reports when they tell cops the Federal Reserve.
All right, folks. We're going to go to break. We're going to go to break and come right back. By the way, there are folks still at the Dallas Federal Reserve protesting and staying there and occupying it. And that's where they're having a demonstration tonight out at a banner hang on a highway. And I'll give you that information coming up. I want to salute those folks. And I'm going to give the number out specifically who goes to the head of the line when I give the number out are our folks up there still occupying the Fed. Okay, we're loaded up within the Fed protesters, Occupy Wall Street protesters. There have been many protests against Wall Street excesses and the private Federal Reserve, but the mainstream media is giving attention to this now. Why? Because it is the Democratic Party election strategy to co-opt anger at Wall Street. Just like anger at Wall Street and the banker bailouts brought Obama in, even though he was financed by the culprits. By the way, Rahm Emanuel threw him under the bus yesterday, saying he probably won't get reelected. Democrats are coming out against him. That's because they want to blame everything on him. He's horrible. But they want to blame it on him and move on to the next puppet. We're going to be talking about that. Also, California bans the use of tanning beds by minors. But meanwhile, Governor Jerry Brown has signed the legislation to allow children to be injected with the Gardasil deadly vaccine without parental consent. So you can get an abortion without mommy and daddy knowing. This is the LA Times reporting on this. You can get a deadly vaccine without mommy and daddy knowing, but you got to get a letter from mommy and daddy to be able to go to the planetarium or the zoo. New law lets 12-year-olds consent to preventative care for STDs. I love how they won't even tell you it's a forced inoculation because they will twist their arms into taking it. I mean, you've seen them in California, the health department going to people's doors saying, it's the law, take the shot. They'll lie to parents, they'll lie to those kids. By the way, they're reportedly going to pay the kids to take it because they care so much about you. The same federal government shipping weapons into Mexico and cocaine into the United States. And here's that news. House committee to subpoena Holder in Fast and Furious probe. Will they get into that Fast and Furious under another name was going on 2-3 years before Obama got in office? Oh, I think not. The special counsel, you'll be assured, won't be getting into the real story that this is part of a drug-running operation. No, they will be punished for trying to use it against the Republican Party and for trying to use it against the Second Amendment. And that is what Obama did do that was new. He did try to then use it against the Second Amendment. And here's another one. Fast and Furious weapons were found in Mexico cartel enforcers' homes by the hundreds. Of course they were. Delivered directly there by the ATF. That was in federal filings months and months and months ago. In other news, they're imploding the euro by design. Oh, and nanny state news, under new rules, children are not allowed to have balloons and blow them up because it might help hurt them. But children can have deadly vaccines and still have BPA plastic and eat GMO crops. See, government always likes to act like it's protecting you, but really it's about an incredible nanny state that protects you from things you don't need protecting from. Kind of like $1 million fines, remember that headline? For people with garage sales that are selling recalled items, and it turns out there's tens of thousands of things recalled a year. You've got some Target table sold 5 years ago that's got lead paint in it. You don't know. Here come the federal enforcers all over the country. 5,000 fines start out up to $1 million. Remember that $1 million fine for garage sale was the Fox News headline last year on that. This is the nanny state on steroids. But the good news is we're fighting them. They're saying the time is short for the eurozone. They've got to give total power to the globalists or they'll implode the euro fully, threatening to take everybody's pension funds so they'll capitulate to the terrorist. That's coming up. We're going to go to break and come right back with your phone calls for the entire next hour and get into some of the other news as well. The good guys that our government helped put in Egypt have killed 20-plus Christians, running over them with tanks. It's Tiananmen Square, but hey, it's freedom. So that's being hailed by the media as very loving. Don't forget, we do InfoWars Nightly News, power-packed reports every night, 7 o'clock. If you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, become one today, 15 cents a day. That's PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. And don't forget the online video bookstore at InfoWars.com. And your purchases make this transmission possible. We'll be right back.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, coming up, the globalists are getting ready to flush Obama. Here's the headline, Aimless Obama Walks Alone. 51% don't want second term for President Obama. On and on. That's all coming up. We've got Kurt Haskell, who's been at the trial of the underwear bomber, popping out at the start of the next hour. But let's take your calls now. I want to talk to everybody who's been at the demonstrations, either Occupy Wall Street or in the Fed, and get your take on all of it. Let's go ahead and see who's been holding the longest here. That would be Lad in Texas. Lad, thank you. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, look, I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to mention just a few things, but first thing I wanted to mention about the Houston Federal Reserve building occupation, number one, it was just flat out fantastic. I mean, to have the wealth of knowledge and conviction that so many people that were united standing together against the fraudsters that created this mess, man, it was just incredible. I mean, tears almost come to my eyes because... Yeah, I wanted to mention the second thing that has meant a lot to me, Alex. What you have done for me personally and my family has been incredible. When I saw you, I was at the Houston location, and when I saw you, I told you that my name was Ladd because I'm the ultimate knife guy. And you looked at me like I looked familiar, but when I said, yeah, I'm the ultimate knife guy, you said, yeah, I know you looked familiar. It was great to finally meet you. You got a great knife. You know, we've been supporting your website, and we've been advertising on your site, and it's done so much for us, even as a small business. I can't even thank you enough for what
you've
done.
Now, you got that Fox Karambit knife, because I'd watched your video, so that's how I recognize you. And was that your sweet little daughter you had with you?
No, actually, that was a little girl that was with another family. And when I read what she had, because it was a rules to Monopoly, and I know a lot of your listeners probably already know this, but the rules to that Monopoly game, I saw about 2 months ago when my wife was reading it to my kids and she was laughing. And I said, "What's so funny, honey?" She said, "It's just the last rule on the game." And I said, "Well, what does it say?" And she said, "Well, it's amazing, you know, hon, because it says loans, the bank loans money to players who mortgage their property. The bank can never go broke. If the bank runs out of money, the banker may issue as much as needed by writing on ordinary paper." And that's what that girl had. And she said, "And I'm not playing the game." That was so convicting to see that little girl.
No, it allows the insiders to totally take over the entire society. Great to hear from you. God bless, Lad. Okay, let's go to another caller here. I'm trying to move quick today now that we're going to the calls. Debbie in California, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex.
Welcome.
I just wanted to tell you that we went to the Occupy LA.
Great.
Over the weekend, and the police were really nice, the LAPD. Because a bunch of us moved over the overpass so we could have all that traffic looking at our signs. And the cops did circle above us, and then they came onto the freeway. And when they got out, I was expecting them to tell us to move. But they didn't. They said they loved us, and they supported us. And they just wanted us to keep our signs on this side of the rail so we didn't drop anything onto the freeway. But Danny Glover showed up. And
Listen, the police have been told everywhere but New York, don't get in people's face because they understand the public's mad and a spark could lead to a conflagration. Some Democratic operatives admit they do want to go ahead and get riots going and make it a class warfare thing. Also, the police don't want to brutalize people because they know it'll bring media attention to you. But also the police know Wall Street's corrupt, but it's good. They tried to totally shut down protests the last decade. But more and more, the police are acting like a First Amendment exists. Also because they've lost thousands of lawsuits nationwide. Thousands. Anything else you want to add from Los Angeles?
Group that was over there at the
Well, stay there.
Reserve
stay there. I'm going to come back to you. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to salute you. TV stations in Des Moines, Iowa, Dallas, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Minneapolis, St. Paul, literally hundreds of news articles. If you put Alex Jones Fed in, and that's just rallies all around the country with people out there protesting against the Fed, getting on local television, getting serious issues covered. And that's just examples of where my name and Infowars.com got mentioned. I just Googled Alex Jones Fed to see how much coverage our little demonstrations had. And it turned out all over the country, our listeners went out to occupy the Fed and told the media why they were there and mentioned my show and what we're doing. Great way to get people across the country to go check out, you know, who Alex Jones is, who Ron Paul is. Very, very exciting. Is that web you're clicked on or news? Because if you click on news, you'll... Yeah, but click on the news tab of Google if you want to show them, because that's web, I think. No, it's up at the top. You just scroll up to the top right there on the sidebar. You just scroll to the top, and then, you know, the control bar right there at the top. Okay, and then you click on news where it says news right there. There you go. And then that's where you can go through it. But it's very, very exciting to see this happening. And if you just type in the Fed, you get hundreds and hundreds of news articles, TV stations. I mean, think about what we're doing. We're not just going to let George Soros and the Democrats claim that revolution against corruption on Wall Street is more taxes and more collectivism that the monopoly capitalists use to control us and steal our wealth. We're out there really putting real issues on the table, just like Ron Paul running for president is. And whether he wins or loses, we win by putting real issues out there. We've got the superior information. We've got the superior fighters. And all we got to do is take the field and we'll win every time. So I salute all of you. All right, I want to go back to your calls from listeners who've been at events around the country. And we were talking to Debbie in California, and then I'll go to everybody else. I went to her a little bit late before the break, so I'm going back to her. So you were at the L.A. in the Fed. You said you blocked or got on the highway and did banner hangs and got a lot of attention. The police left your First Amendment alone. That's good. What happened next?
Passed over the freeway and got a lot of support. Most of the people honked in support. My sign said, "In the Fed, stop the unconstitutional printing press for the Wall Street Casino," and in larger font, Infowars.com. And because I had the Infowars.com, there were a lot of people that came up and gave me high fives because they were listeners, including this little seven-year-old boy. I have never, with an Infowars.com and Ron Paul sign, I've never seen anyone so small and enthusiastic.
Well, Debbie, I've got to say this. It's wonderful, but it's also like torture because I know who I am. I'm not perfect. I try to be a good person. But I understand my faults. And then when I go to these events and see men, women, children, every race, every religion, little children looking up to me like this, it's just such a responsibility. And you know, I'm proud of a lot of the work I've done, but at the same time, I realize I'm just human. And I get so afraid that I don't ever want to let people down because even the smallest mistakes get twisted, or even things that aren't mistakes get twisted. But I just want to say I love you guys. And people kept thanking me for coming out and demonstrating against the Fed. Thank you for coming out. We're all the same. We love liberty. We understand what's happening. I'm nothing special. I'm just somebody that came along earlier than some of you. But I stand on the shoulders of people that came before me. You are all just as good as I am or better. So I want to say you're wonderful. But, you know, when you tell me about little kids coming over to you because you had the InfoWars sign, that is such a responsibility, Debbie.
You got interviewed. The little kid got interviewed by one of the news stations that was there. I'm not sure which one, but
well, continue.
LA,
continue with what the little kid said and what you saw.
He loves InfoWars. He listens to Alex every single day, and he is all for the in the Fed. They're crooks, he said.
Well, that's why. Go ahead.
Hopefully he'll share that at school. And we all know that you're human, Alex, but you still inspire us.
No, I know. It's just that people always say, you're great, you're wonderful. And, you know, I'm a guy who eats too much. You know, I'm a guy who has a bad temper. I'm just a regular guy. And I never sought or wanted to, you know, more and more become a figurehead for liberty. And quite frankly, it's like the Wayne's World thing where they're saying, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. God bless you. I appreciate your call. What an exciting call from Debbie. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Let's talk to Doris in Tennessee. Doris, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Doris. Welcome.
Hey. Well, we protested Gibson Guitar, and I have been awake about the same amount of time you have. I've been telling people about the Federal Reserve, but I'm a Prison Planet member, and I buy all the vitamins and all that stuff, and they're great. Now, the Government Accountability Office did an audit, you know, back in July, and they found out that, you know, there had been $16 trillion of secret bailouts.
Yes.
To people like Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, Barclays, Bear Stearns, Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's ridiculous. It was on Fox News for about 2 minutes. Then people, you know, they just don't even act like they even heard.
Well, the
it.
Globalists are masters. Back at the time, they said it's only 800 and something billion, and the banks are going to pay it back. So they use that red herring of the bailout, but that was just one part of it. The bailout allowed the Federal Reserve to monetize trillions in debt, give themselves trillions of our tax money. And as you mentioned, it's 16 plus trillion. There's another 10 trillion plus that they won't tell us about. And that's been a couple of years since we got new numbers. Who knows what it is now? And I hear these mainline neocon hosts going, it's only 870-something billion, and it was all paid back. No, it wasn't. And of that 800 billion, remember when the Federal Reserve and the Treasury, quote, ordered under national security, even though they didn't have the authority, they ordered local banks to take some of it. And some banks refused and said, well, I don't care if you order it. I mean, I've seen articles the last 3 years of Fed's order pension funds to invest in this and that to prop up market. And they order companies to invest pension funds in their derivatives. And because federal regulators show up at these pension funds, sometimes with hundreds of billions, they follow the order. It's all just knuckle-dragging gangster government shows up and we're here to order you to take a vaccine. Well, where's the law? I got a cop behind me. You know, that's a federal building. It says Federal Reserve. It's all hoaxes and fraud. And I'm so glad you bring up that fact, because I hear these talking points. You know, the left has their talking points of raise taxes, get the rich people. That's all Federal Reserve written. And then on the right, they've got the talking point of the Federal Reserve is, you know, basically created the planet, and they're the reason flowers bloom and fish swim and birds tweet. It's just amazing. And then they want to paint any demonstrations. I see all the big mainline neocon sites, except for the Drudge Report, out there criticizing. out there criticizing Ron Paul, criticizing in the Fed, saying, I can't believe Ron Paul supporters want to team up with the dirty hippies. Don't go down there and hang out with them commies. We have the Occupy Wall Street people, in most cases, coming over and henpecking us and griping at us for because the Democrats have told them that we're evil Republicans. And then they're mad at us because we're evil Republicans. And then the evil Republicans that they're talking about are attacking us. We're the real group. Ron Paul's the real guy. That's why the whole system attacks them. We know the real threat. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm ranting. Anything else?
Okay. Yes. Okay. You know, it was Ron Paul that got Alan Grayson Amendment to the Dodd-Frank bill.
Yes.
And it was Ron Paul that got that done. Now, when they did that audit, they didn't go as far as Ron Paul wanted to go. It was H.R. 1207. And when they did find out, though, I mean, they did get to the bottom of it. And see, here's what people don't understand. All this money has gone out, and then the people here are losing their jobs.
No. I mean, it's insane. I mean, look, the country is falling apart. And Herman Cain's answer is, if you're not rich, it's your fault. Okay, if somebody's not rich in North Korea, is it their fault? Yes, the American system is the best it's ever been anywhere in history. This is the land of opportunity. There are a lot of deadbeats. But to say, if you're not rich, it's your fault. Okay, let's say you're in the Marine Corps and a mine goes off and blows your eyes out and blows one of your arms off. Is it your fault you're not rich now as the government swindles your military pension and gets ready to basically get rid of it and kills what's left with inflation? I mean, this statement that if you're not well off, it's your fault. Oh, really? You're in a car wreck. A Mack truck smacks into you, breaks your back. Now you're being kicked off your disability. Really, Herman Cain, is it your fault? My point is, you got this Federal Reserve guy up there, the biggest welfare recipients in the galaxy, and he's lecturing everyone, and I see all these mainline conservatives, you tell them Wall Street's perfect, Herman, Federal Reserve, look at them Ron Paul people, they're hanging out with them dirty hippies, going up against our Federal Reserve, it's federal, it's going to take care of it, and Herman Cain going to fix it. Oh, man, I tell you, they're just as dumb as Obama supporters. I mean, is there no con you people won't buy into? More calls straight ahead. All right, we're back live. Going straight back to your calls. I will be getting into the fall of Barack Obama. I told you, 3 years ago when Obama deception came out. Hard to believe it came out in March of 2009. So I guess that's Obama's been in 2.5, 3 years. I don't know. How long is that? 2.5 years or so? The film came out, and I said he will be destroyed politically. And I explained how I could tell that was going to happen. Because they were getting ready to implode the country. They always blame the sacrificial lamb. And people are like, this film's insane. This guy's got an 80% approval rating. He's the Christ. Remember they had black preachers saying he was like Jesus? The one and all that bull? Yeah, the one to take the blame for everything. There's about a 90% chance now they're going to fully destroy Barack Obama. There's a 10% chance they're going to blow up a bunch of stuff and resurrect him politically. Or they could do a failed assassination attempt like a Taiwanese president got caught 6, 7 years ago with even fake bullet wounds. Remember that? Didn't get much attention, but it was in the news. I mean, they got a few things they could pull. But it looks like they're going with fully destroying Barack Obama. That's coming up after I take some more calls. Got a bunch of economic news. I promise I'm going to go through it all. We got a lot of time here to take calls. But I don't go out on the road a lot, but I'm planning to do it more and more. But, you know, I don't have security. I just plunge myself out into the crowd. And I'm not like a politician. I used to always see politicians just shaking people's hands like a zombie and not really paying attention to them. And I thought, how dare them be fake? But I know why they're fake. There is like this weird psychological calculation that's made when you size somebody up, when you actually shake their hand and actually talk to them and actually ask their name and actually look them in the eye and then even answer their questions. So at one event, there's like 400, another 300, another 150 or so, whatever it was. And I've just got, when I'm not bullhorning, person after person after person talking to me, looking in the eye. They're sizing me up. I'm sizing them up. And I'm not going into zombie mode with them. But I've caught myself sometimes about 2 hours, 3 hours into a demonstration, after I've shook hundreds of hands and hugged people and listened to them, I'll catch myself as I'm going, kind of, and then I get back to the car and just like, there is nothing more tiring. Because I'm actually talking to you. I'm actually seeing you. You know, like they say in Avatar, one of the only new agey things in there I agree with, because it's not new age, it's old age, of sizing somebody up when you, you know, when they say, I see you. I mean, I see what you are. I look into you. I pick up your essence. I feel your presence. You know, when you ever get around really famous people or really powerful people, that is the only thing that's interesting, is they're still regular people, but they've always got this aura. Even more so, like a lot of times you'll think a movie star doesn't look that like that in person, and then when you get around them in person, it's like the charisma, like starlets. Take. I have met in person famous female stars who I didn't find particularly attractive in the film, and then you meet them in person, and you go, "Wow, I can tell why you're a movie star." It's very strange, but it's not a negative thing. But when people are your fans and they admire you, it's almost like the adulation and the energy they're shooting at you drains you. It drains you. I mean, I am stumbling around 2 days later. Stumbling around. I went to a UFC fight, too. You know, Joe Rogan, good friends with him going back like 13 years. I've known Joe since like 1998 when he was doing stand-up here in Austin. Joe Rogan, host of Fear Factor, UFC. He was just a big, funny, hilarious part in The Zookeeper. And he said, hey, he sent me a text, said, I heard you're coming to Houston for In the Fed thing. And you want some UFC tickets and go to dinner beforehand. And I went to that, and even the UFC. I mean, everywhere I went in Houston, shake hands, shake hands, shake hands, shake hands, shake hands, shake hands. And again, that is an illustration of just how big the Liberty Movement is. Because I'm just one prominent person in the worldwide fight to awaken humanity out of their trance. So when I get on there and say, hey, everywhere I go, I'm running into more people, that's a sonar ping. Because you're not known. 99% of you that listen are not public figures. You're not well known. So you don't know how big our Liberty Movement is. It's big. Ron Paul should be the next president. Ron Paul is the front runner. Ron Paul is the man. But the system is trying to act like he isn't numero uno. But we're going in the right direction. Exponential Liberty Movement. That's why the globalists are trying to trigger and then co-opt the Occupy Wall Street so they can misdirect the revolution. We'll be right back with your phone calls, a ton of news, straight ahead. Stay with us. Infowars.com.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride.
You know, as I sat there watching the UFC fighters beat the living daylights out of each other and blood spewing, particularly bloody group of bouts, guys with blood spilling out of broken noses all over the other person, I realized why people like gladiatorial events, because it's about the human struggle. It's about two men facing each other down. But the system is expert at stylizing it and basically making it ceremonial or vestigial. But there's other forms of war going on every day. Many communist and fascist and others, well, when Hitler went into Poland, he killed hundreds of thousands of the intelligentsia, not just the Jews, but the Polish intelligentsia, doctors, sociologists, psychologists, writers, journalists. And then when the Soviets came in after World War II and took over Poland, they did another purge. Pol Pot, as you know, killed around 30% of the Cambodian population under U.S. government funding. President Brzezinski's written two books bragging about it. And they killed everybody who could write. And a lot of folks would act like they couldn't write. And so if they found out you had glasses, if you could afford glasses, you were taken out and killed. That's why it's called the killing fields. Just giant piles everywhere of people shot in the head. When they ran out of bullets, they just tied you up and hacked you up with a machete. That's how the UN likes to run genocide over in Africa. I guess they say it's more fun to actually not just shoot somebody, but get a little loving in. Psychopaths like it. See, the globalists, they kill our minds with the sodium fluoride, with the bisphenol A and the plastics, with the GMO. That's a story I want to tell, and I'm going back to your calls. And by the way, after we've talked to Steve and Pappy and Lauren and Emmanuel and Darby and others, I want to specifically for In the Fetters who are there demonstrating in Dallas. I'm told there's going to be some demonstrations for In the Fed up in Dallas tonight. And I do need to get out there and get the address of it and cover it in the next segment. And I also want to hear from the folks, because I'm told a few dozen people stayed overnight at the Dallas Fed, and then that people more showed up Saturday and Sunday, and then off and on, at least 10 people have been camping out there. I want to salute you, because that's the thing that really starts to draw media attention. Realize that we got hundreds of newscasts, hundreds of newspapers to report on In the Fed this weekend. Hundreds of mainstream and alternative. That is millions of dollars of publicity towards the real enemy, towards the private Federal Reserve. They hope it's all just going to be nebulous. Capitalism's bad. Let's raise taxes on the middle class. That'll fix it, which is what the globalists want. The Herman Cain model. Only Herman Cain and Sean Hannity and all these Republican leaders, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, could come out and say, we need VAT and sales tax to pay off our debt. And conservatives are like, pay our share. That's right. Put in a federal sales tax. That's a great idea. That Alex is a liberal. He isn't for new tax. I'm conservative. I want to pay it to the Federal Reserve. Herman Cain said, and we got to pay it. You get so sold on a fair tax to get rid of the income tax that when they bait and switch it and keep the income tax and the Social Security tax, 9 for income to phase it out. Of course, it'll never get phased out. 9 for Social Security and 9 on the sales tax. Might as well just put 9 bullets in your head or jump off a cliff 9 times. 999. How'd the Federal Reserve give us the income tax? Oh, I've got to do an article or a video about this. I know I've read it in the historical news reports over and over again. Anybody can pull this up. Like, I know there's a lot of writers that listen to the show and then write off the ideas we talk about here. I don't care who covers it. We'll link to your story up at Infowars.com. You can look up the income tax of 1913 that they got passed right along with the Federal Reserve Act. Wasn't really ratified, but so what? It's a hoax. It was a 1% tax on the top 1%. Oh, this is all Federal Reserve propaganda. They were like, listen, it's only a tax on the top one. The 99% don't pay diddly jack squat. And it's only a 1% tax on the top 1%. These guys have got an old dusty playbook. And hey, if it works, if that old 1951 design of a certain type of topwater bait works, why not keep buying it? Granddaddy did, and granddaddy's granddaddy did. And let me tell you, it works really good. Some of those old design, you know, 1905 topwater designs are still some of the best. And they get out that, they say, how'd we do it in 1913? Well, we told them it's going to be a 1% tax on the 1%. And that 99% of you, I've seen the news articles, 99% to be exempt. Get that 1%. But still, they couldn't fool the American people. And so they didn't ratify it in all the states, but they just said they ratified it and put it on through. Just like they said the Federal Reserve was federal when it's not. And Mr. Benson and Mr. Beckman went to all 44 states that were in existence then 1913, and they went in and found out some didn't even ratify it, period. Others didn't completely ratify it. Others refused to even hear it, but were marked as present and that it happened. And the feds just announced, we have the ratification, falsify the certification. But that part doesn't matter. People didn't really care. It was only 1% that was going to pay it, and that was 1% until World War II. And they used the provisions in it for a wartime tax. We're fighting Hitler and Tojo and Yamamoto. We've got, are you patriotic? Are you going to have that withholding tax? Then let us withhold 20%. You know, your sons are over there dying. In foreign fields, are you going to pay that tax? Are you patriotic? Write the check payable to the Federal Reserve. They're going to handle it. And they funded Hitler the whole time. Woo! Worked good, didn't it? And then they said, it's only a temporary tax instituted in 1941 in the week after Pearl Harbor when we got hit. And did they get rid of the withholding? Oh, that was for the 1%. It was only for the rich. Only for the ultra rich to get part of your paycheck paid right to them at the Federal Reserve. And right now they got the great grandsons, the pimps. They've got the Rockefellers, David Rockefeller, the son of the scammer at the time. They've got Warren Buffett up there, always meeting, lecturing you how you need to pay more taxes. You need to pay more taxes to pay your fair share because he's rich. He's a billionaire. And he wants to tell you, and he's a good billionaire who gave his money, 40-something billion tax-free, Warren Buffett, 50-something billion from Bill Gates because he cares so much about you. Then you go check it. Their entire empires are now tax-free, even though they operated a profit. Then they put it into other subsidiaries, and their wealth has massively increased. And all they do is spend part of the profit of their now tax-free businesses that nobody can compete with to finance eugenics worldwide. And Bill Gates comes out and lectures groups of college students in the education department at a major university last year, and he says, if we don't give grandma end of care in the last year of her life, and he smiles like a devil, he says, some call it death panels, but so what? He goes, that's what it is. And he got this little smile, and he said, you'll get 10 jobs. And there was a ooh, and he liked it. He was teaching people, when you kill old people, you get jobs. And all the dumb little yuppies were buying into the sum game, small pie system. And he was like, that's right. We don't give people health care. You get a job. You get something when somebody loses. Do you like that? This is one of the most wicked little Hitlers in the world. And they were all, you bet we do. There was a smacking and a hissing. Oh, and covered in Newsweek, the case for killing Granny with an image of a plug pulled out of a wall. Yeah, he teaches us to be predators when Grandma dies or when we don't give somebody eye surgery. You know what is the guy worth $200 million running around, say, who's got all the big, Halliburton stock and Dyncor stock? What is the self-propelled little fascist posing as a liberal, say, Michael Moore? He says it's patriotic to have a cane instead of eye surgery. It's patriotic to wait a year for brain surgery. Crawl in a hole and die. There's too many of you. Big fat demons like me want all your taxes. Oh, yeah, because the real predators know how to sidle up to you and tell you, I'm NPR with a sweet little, here, let me do an NPR voice.
Today on All Things Considered, brought to you by the Rockefeller Foundation, we're gonna soothe you to sleep. Trust me, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, little sheepy. When you awake, we would have chewed your guts out. Drink the fluoride, baby. Give your baby formula that's over half the corn syrup. Give them mercury shots. Watch the childhood cancer skyrocket. Watch the IQs fall. Watch the murder and death happen. 'Cause after all, killing granny is sweet. Oh, we're so liberal. We have sweet little voices. We're gonna take good care of you. We're so liberal. But you don't like us? Well, there's Herman Cain on the other side. That's right, he worked for the Federal Reserve. He's got a new tax for you. It's so cute.
I can't handle it anymore. I just can't handle it. I mean, I have to sit here and see these people naked in front of me. All their crimes, all their sickening gibbering, getting off on conning people. The demonic Bill Gates eyes just fired up, full psycho killer on parade. I mean, you look at that guy, and it's just, those eyes are on. I mean, it's Predator, and it's he enjoys it, and he prances around, and it just goes on and on for him, the power trip. Ugh. We are uncloaking you, though, buddy boy. We're uncloaking you. All right, you've held long enough. Steve in New York, you're on the air worldwide.
Thank you, Alex. I love that lullaby. I'm dying to see the YouTube version of it coming out. Anyway, yeah, I spent over the weekend at the Occupy Wall Street, and yeah, it was pretty interesting. In fact, I'm like the woman earlier was mentioning about the cops being actually pretty sympathetic in, you know, Houston and other areas and that. And I'm really finding that in a lot of ways, the cops that are hanging out around that area are pretty much been accepted as being part of the protest, as being part of the 99%. You know, they're going over talking to people, asking them what their sign means, you know, what they're about and stuff. And in general, there's a good discourse all around. People are, you know, talking to, you know, you've got your liberals and your conservatives and your Wall Streeters and everybody talking back and forth. And I think that's something that, you know, we really haven't had in a long time. It's like a giant living room in the middle of the city.
No, you're right. And that's why the system wants us to not talk to the police. They don't want the police talking to us because we're all just humans. We're all Americans, and the police are going to have their future destroyed. In fact, when I started going into that whole rant about how we're being poisoned, the Dallas cops did put a cage around us and were kind of bugging their eyes out, and they had a gang unit. Some of the cops came over and said, no, we know about the Federal Reserve. We appreciate what you're doing, you know, off record. But that was the commanders, you know, people in charge. Some of the cops were laughing when I was saying this is not federal. And I went over and I said, listen, I was real nice. I said, this isn't a joke. This is serious. And the cops are kind of giving me this where they try to intimidate you, where they do the scary eye. And I just looked at the guy and I said, let me tell you something, buddy. They're poisoning your water and your food. Cancer's up several thousand percentage points. Diabetes. The GMO is sterilizing all mammal species to almost 100% within three generations in every study. I was explaining to him rat studies. And some were still kind of laughing about it. And I said, listen, it isn't funny. And I said, a lot of you aren't going to listen, but when your young wife dies of breast cancer early or your kid dies, it isn't funny. Then they look kind of freaked out, but then kind of aggressive. And then I saw him go over to the head cop, and I heard the cop going, he was being really mean and saying horrible things. I don't appreciate it. I almost went over, but I was tired and about to leave, and she was saying something to him. But the point is, that cop was kind of mad at me for saying that. Like, I was threatening his kids, telling the guy, don't let your kid, you know, use cocaine. It's not trying to hurt your kid. Or telling you, don't drink out of bisphenol A, or don't give your kids this baby formula made out of deadly, toxin-filled, you know, garbage and melamine and all of it, the mercury, warning you. You know, when the cops are laughing at you, I'm like, listen, buddy boy, this isn't a joke. Just because you think it's funny doesn't make it one. I'm a real person that's done the research, that cares enough to break my trance and come out here on a Friday night and warn you. So don't play games. Now, I didn't get like that, but that's basically what I was trying to explain to them. This isn't a game. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
The other thing, too, like you were mentioning before, the idea of Move On and all these organizations trying to co-opt it, which they definitely are, but they're sort of organized through this great grand assembly type of thing. So everybody sits down and discusses. And they have to have, you know, basically a consensus on what they do for the marches and this and that. And there's so many people that are so vehemently against being co-opted by anybody that, you know, they'll gladly accept the donations and stuff, but they're, you know, they're refusing to, like, go by anybody's particular, you know, diet.
No, you're right, and because it's a pure democracy, it remains a mob. It's got to be a republic. They should adopt the Constitution. They should adopt the constitutional dean, Ron Paul, who's already figured it all out. And again, I didn't just believe what Ron Paul said. I did my own historical research. Perfect voting record, understands our problems, predicted it 30 years out. I mean, the fact that Ron Paul is at this point, this paramount point in his career of liberty, right as all this is cresting, is how the universe works. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Tyranny's cresting, liberty is beginning to crest. And the collision is on. Every bit of energy we put into this now is key. And yeah, it's because Occupy Wall Street thinks they're being totally nebulous and not having any direction. That's why Obama can project onto this white wall whatever he wants. They don't understand that. They should adopt Ron Paul. Instead, they're letting operatives like MoveOn kind of slowly control them to where they're now, we're not going to that Alex Jones thing. He's for Ron Paul and ending the Fed. We like the government. I mean, that's what I've been told. It's not the government. See, they're just, but again, that's not everybody in the movement. But because they don't take on an ideology, well, the globalists have projected one onto them. Great points. More calls coming up. Tons of news. Kurt Haskell popping in with big news on the underwear bomber. That inside job. We got big, big info coming up. A bunch of breaking stuff. You'll want to stay with us.
I'm ready for
it. Okay, Kurt Haskell, who survived the underwear Christmas Day bomber, who's a lawyer, has been covering the trial. Big breaking news on that front. Of course, he broke the news almost 2 years ago. The government got him on the plane, but it gets even crazier. That's coming up for one segment. Then I'll continue with calls. I need to start getting into this news. BPA levels in humans far higher than previously thought. No kidding. It's in everything now. What's it do? Lowers your life expectancy, increases cancer, lowers fertility, and makes you obese, amongst a big other list of horrible things, all by design. Different companies are now lobbying to not allow it to be taken out when it's very easy to use other plastic formulas. Continuing, fast and furious weapons were found in Mexico. Cartels enforce her home. I want to spend a lot of time today on this, at least 5 minutes or so. The design destruction of Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, the Democrats all deserting him by design. What Herman Cain is up to, that's all coming up. I briefly want to encourage listeners to visit Infowars.com for the anti-globalist t-shirts. It'll help you meet like-minded people in your area. And the purchase also supports this broadcast and the news site and our growing organization and reporters and server costs and everything we're doing here. We couldn't have done any of this without you. And we've got great films that are available at Infowars.com, like Invisible Empire, Terror Storm, Obama Deception, Endgame, Fall of the Republic. And we're carrying the best gravity filters I've ever used because I needed some more of these getting ready for what's coming down in this country. And I did a lot of research. I had Tim in the back try out a bunch of different brands. We have found with the specs in a side-by-side comparison with all of their competitors, ProPure is the way to go. Stainless steel, gravity filter system, bigger filters, more filtration. Just go look at the side-by-side at Infowars.com. Click on the shopping cart and check out the water filtration systems. We also have our stainless steel water bottles at Infowars.com on them that do hundreds and hundreds of gallons and reduce everything, you know, make swamp water safe to drink. This, though, basically gets almost everything out. Fluoride's so small, it's even harder. It reduces fluoride, but you can buy special filters that knock it out to non-detectable levels. Again, all available at Infowars.com. ProPure, and your purchase supports this broadcast and what we are doing. Let's go ahead and talk to Darby in North Carolina. Thanks for holding her on the air.
Hey, Alex, how's it going, man?
Good.
I'm 21. I've been listening to you about 3 years. I want to thank you for waking me up, man. You truly changed my life. But anyway, I live close to Charlotte, North Carolina, and they had the Occupy Charlotte meeting on Saturday, and I got to say, there's a lot of people with the right intention down there, and there's a lot of people that know something's wrong down there, but the vast majority are just entirely clueless about the source of tyranny and oppression.
Well, that's why you're there. You were there to educate them. Did you have any success?
I did. I was met with some opposition. It's funny. When they first started the protest, and the guys running through the rules of the protest that were given to them by the police, the last things he ends it with, and the protest started in a park right next to the Charlotte Federal Reserve Building. The last thing he says is, "Don't mess with the Fed." And he points over there and he's like, "This isn't CNPD, people. These are federal agents. Oh, just be scared."
Oh, no. That's what Occupy San Antonio said. They said, "Those are federal agents." And the Move On people were running it now, and they've said, "You do not join with Ron Paul or Alex Jones." I'm going to try to air that Medina interview tonight where they told him all this. They were good a few weeks ago, but now, and you tell them, "No, it's not federal." And they go, "Shut up, right winger." And you're like, no, that's who stole the trillions. I like George Soros. He runs everything now. I mean, it's just they are so ignorant, and they love their ignorance. Incredible.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, let's continue with your calls right now ahead of Kurt Haskell, the lawyer who survived the underwear bomber. He's been following the trial. We've got new anthrax news proving it's an inside job from those attacks 10 years ago that were going on right at this time. Let's go ahead and go to Emmanuel in Texas. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. I have some friends in Occupy Wall Street. They are trying to talk about a new invention called Bitcoin, and it has the potential to end the globalist regime on money. And they're trying to end it before it gets any bigger. They're hacking all our exchanges. They're tearing everything up. And I just want to get the word out there. Have you heard about Bitcoin? Have you researched it yet?
Yes, I've done some research on it. There's a lot of these digital currencies. But then isn't it, at the end of the day, cashed out in dollars?
We try to avoid that, but yes, it's cash out on exchanges. That's what's making the price go down. But really, what separates it apart from other private currencies, it's completely decentralized. It's like if you took the internet and turned it to money. The globalists can't touch this thing because it's directly in the hands of the people. So this is a big innovation, and it really can change the world if you look into it. But
hey, I'm totally into alternative currencies and an awakening to that. That's why they raided the Liberty Dollar, was because it was exposing it. We've got a bunch of states moving in that direction. The globalists want to hold us hostage with the currencies they're debasing as a form of economic warfare.
Definitely. But what separates this one from the other currencies is basically mimics gold in terms of scarcity. It takes scarcity of what we had in gold and silver and perfectly puts it on the internet in a safe cryptographic form. Like, nobody can break this cryptography, not yet at least, until we get some quantum computing in. But
very interesting. You know, I should get an expert on about it and do a piece. Thanks for the call. Let's go ahead now and take another call. Let's talk to Lauren in Texas. Lauren, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Hey, brother.
Welcome.
Man, I'm excited. I've been trying to get on the show for a while. It's really exciting seeing everything that's going on right now. I woke up on September 11, 2001. I just graduated high school. I'd stayed up all that night before, and I was watching ABC when the news broke. And I immediately started recording on my VCR. And I filled up, several VHS tapes full of, live news. I was like, this is important. Well, I fell asleep around lunchtime, and I woke up just in time to watch Building 6 fall. So I saw all three buildings, from the first moment to the end. And
you mean Building 7?
Building 7, I'm sorry. Yeah, Building 7, at 6 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock, whatever. But I immediately knew that there was something wrong with it because I knew that was controlled demolition, and you know, I just didn't really have anything to go on, and I was new to all this. Well, I'd kind of, you know, wondered about it. I said, this looks like it was brought down by explosives. I mean, how would the terrorists get in the building to plant the explosives? Well, I talked about it for a while, and a friend of mine said, hey, man, you need to check this stuff out. If you're into all this, you know, check this guy out. So the first video I saw of yours was Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove. And from it was like the tearing of the veil. I mean, you know, putting on the sunglasses or taking the red pill. You know, once you know the truth, you can never go back. So I've been living, you know, this way for, you know, going on 10 years now, 9 years at least. And, you know, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm a very passionate person, very creative. I love my friends. I love my family. I love life. And if I was 24, 22 years old, I would be at the Dallas Fed right now. You know, I didn't have anything to go on. I'm just like, you know, I'm going vicariously through the kids out there. So I guess what I'm calling about is a message of solidarity. You know, that we all need to stick in this together. It's not left, right. It's
exactly. The system wants us to infight with each other, but we do have to educate these young people. We'll be right back, but I love the analogy you use there. Red pill, veil, sunglasses.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to go to Tony, Jordan, John, Cameron, Steve, everybody that's holding, I promise, and more. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. Now for one segment, we're joined by Kurt Haskell, who is the lawyer with his wife, who was also a lawyer that survived the underwear bombing attack almost 2 years ago on Christmas Day, and that witnessed the feds basically getting him on the aircraft before anybody talked about this. And then later in congressional testimony, the Undersecretary of State admitted that it was true. And boy, you could have heard a pin drop whenever that came up, that unnamed agency told them to help, you know, get him the visa and get him on the aircraft, basically. Now, since then, Haskell at the time didn't know if it was an inside job. Now he's saying clearly it was. He's talked to the lawyers involved, the standby lawyers and others, and, you know, they think this is entrapment and a setup, and the guy is clearly being threatened or out of his mind. All of that's been covered. I want to get Kurt Haskell on now to give us the latest, because now the trial's going. It's being used as propaganda for the groping of our children and the microwave oven machines at the airports. I want to get his take on that and then ask Kurt Haskell a question I don't think he's been asked in context. Going to, if somebody's committed crimes before, then, you know, that goes in an investigation towards their credibility or lack of it. The federal government's been caught lying over and over again, staging all sorts of criminal operations. And now we know, it's admitted, not just letting guns be shipped to Mexico, not just doing that, but actually shipping them to Mexico to Sinaloa, major cartel, and then allowing drugs to be shipped back in. That's in the El Paso Times, Chicago Tribune. It's in the federal filings, but it's not getting national TV attention. The attorney general has been caught perjuring himself. This is the same Justice Department up to their eyeballs in the underwear bombing situation, where it's come out in congressional testimony, the feds helped this guy. Now, Amaral Alaki, they say, was his handler. The guy meeting secretly at the Pentagon, the guy running the Fort Hood shooter, the Times Square bomber, the shoe bomber. He's just a cutout they use. We pointed this out, so now they've, quote, killed him, if you believe that. That's the fifth time they say they've killed him. They never retract the last time they kill him. There is no credibility. So I want to ask Kurt Haskell out of the gates here. Sir, what is, before we get into the latest developments, as a lawyer watching this, what is it like to see the same Justice Department that's clearly covering up in this kangaroo trial right now? I know you have some key stuff that the jury was asked in jury selection coming up. How does, in your mindset, Fast and Furious play into this, or have you added that into your equation?
I don't think it's going to have any effect on the trial. I'd really be surprised if it comes up at all. You know, in my mind, I see some parallels there. You have, you know, a plot nearby. I don't know that much about Fast and Furious. I know some that the government was providing weapons to Mexican drugs.
Yeah, it's basically Iran-Contra, and they're just claiming it's a gun sting. It wasn't just letting the guns be sold. It's delivering them. Certain cartels can bring the drugs in. My point is it just goes to what criminals this Justice Department is.
Yeah, it would appear that way, and there's some contrast, you know, between the two cases, doing some illegal acts with the thought that it will restrict constitutional rights of Americans. It appears that way to me, anyway. The underwear bombing, restricting rights at the airports in regards to the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizures, and the Gunrunner case trying to restrict rights to possess weapons. So,
well, see, there you are, cutting right to the chase and simplifying it. In the underwear bombing, it was used for a police state rollout, and confirmed in the Fast and Furious, it was used to call for a rebanning of semi-automatic rifles and a bunch of more harassment of gun purchasers. There you go. Same modus operandi of a false flag. Fast and Furious, a false flag. Underwear bomber, a false flag. Kurt, I'm giving you the floor for the next 8 minutes before we go to break. Tell us the incredible things you're witnessing in this trial.
Right. Well, I went to court last week, October the 4th. Jury selection began that day, and I wanted to go watch, you know, to see how things went, because I've seen all these hearings I go to, the press doesn't accurately report what I see. You know, the ones I go to, I come home and I read the reports on what happened at the hearing, and what comes out are things that are totally different than what I'm seeing in court. So I figured out the only way for me to really find out what's going on is go down there and watch. So I went down there last Tuesday. I watched for 4 hours, and for your listeners that don't know, jury selection involves first, you bring one juror in at a time. First, the judge gets to ask them whatever questions they want, then the prosecution, and then the defense. And the goal is to try and get non-biased jurors that don't have a strong opinion on the case or know that much about it. So that's the goal. And what I was witnessing was a lot of the questions from Judge Edmonds or Anthony Chambers, that's Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab's standby attorney, were really similar to each juror. I watched 18 jurors get questions, and two questions kept being repeated again and again, not by the prosecution, though. And there are variations of these two questions. Do you think, after listening to all the evidence and seeing all the testimony, you'll be able to determine whether Umar actually possessed a bomb or an explosive device? That was one of the questions that was repeated over and over. And the second one was, do you realize that sometimes the media doesn't always tell the truth? And of course, you know, with what I've been saying that's been going on in this case all along, again, that was just more confirmation to me, as if I need any more. I don't think I really do. But that, you know, what I've been saying all along has been true. Now,
well, some folks aren't a lawyer, though, so explain why a trained legal mind would see those questions as so damning.
Well, with the first question about the bomb, you can see not only Anthony Chambers, but also Judge Edmonds questioning whether the jurors can tell if the bomb was really a bomb or was a fake bomb, is what they're getting at, whether it was concocted to not explode and blow up a plane, but just merely to have some sort of minor incident. So you can see that's what the questioning was. You know, will you be able to tell if he really had a bomb, or did he really have an explosive device? And of course, anyone, you know, just tuning into this, my theory on the case is that the U.S. government, via undercover intelligence officers, provided Umar with a fake bomb and put him on the plane intentionally to stage a fake terrorist attack. So that directly ties into what, you know, what I've been saying on the case. And then number two, you realize sometimes the media doesn't always tell the truth. So, you know, it was really hard to find jurors that hadn't heard something about this case. You know, almost everybody, especially here in Michigan, knows something about it. So, again, directly pointing to the media not telling the truth in this case, and obviously the media's opinion on this case is that Umar is some lunatic Al-Qaeda nut with a bomb that tried to take our plane down, and that, you know, the U.S. government was not involved in it at all. So you can see the questions there for the jury on that question, and trying to see if the jury is biased into just that they've already made up their opinion that the media story is the true story, which obviously Judge Edmonds and Anthony Chambers both know is not the true story. Now, also at the hearing, it was somewhat interesting to me that Umar made some outbursts in court. He acted a little strange, which I hadn't seen before. I'd been to, I don't know, four or five other hearings before this, and he made some statements like the U.S. is a cancer, we need to wipe out the U.S. or something like that, and statements about Anwar al-Awlaki still being alive. Now, after the hearing, I talked to an AP reporter. His name is Ed White, and this is what I said to Ed. I said, you know, I saw Umar before he boarded the plane. I saw him on the plane when he lit his fake bomb, and I've seen him in several hearings now. He's always very quiet, hardly ever says anything, and this is really out of character for him. And what Ed White reported in his article, which is in print all over the place, from the AP, Associated Press, AP. He left out two details. He left out that I said it was a fake bomb, and he left out that I said that I saw Umar before he boarded. So I was kind of irritated with Ed White over that, because, again, we see the mainstream media covering up for the government here, and not again.
Oh, I'm sure the AP reporter dispatched by the Associated Press to cover this is very non-biased, Kurt. I mean, come on. They're gonna make sure the truth comes out. You know, it's admitted the government helped get him on the plane. Why would the AP want to question the government about that? That's not an interesting point. Let's move on here, Kurt.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was pretty irritated once again, you know, if the media even talks to me at all, and most of the time they don't even talk to me, or they talk to me and they don't print anything about it, but now they're talking to me and twisting my words around. So to me, that's even worse than ignoring me, trying to, recharacterize what I'm saying here. So it's pretty irritated about that. But the hearing ended with Judge Edmonds saying, well, we're going to finish this up Thursday at 1:30.
Kurt, I tell you, stay there and do one more segment, and I promise, folks, I'm going to get to all the news I haven't covered, and then your phone calls, those that are holding. And we probably end up having to get Kurt back on the nightly news tonight, because this is so important, and we're running out of time here today. And I've got to get to this other news. But, Kurt, stay there. I want to come back and also give your website out for people. Our websites are prisonplanet.tv and infowars.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right. Kurt Haskell's our guest. You're getting up to the last day of when they had some court hearings. You know, when you watch mainstream TV, none of this ever comes up. That, hey, it's admitted the U.S. government got him on the plane. And then the guy that witnessed all this and told the world before the Undersecretary of State had to admit it, you go tell the AP this again. It has come out in the Detroit Free Press and a few other papers. And you'd think that real media would want to know about that. You know, and then the big mystery of why doesn't Mutallab want this brought up? Why does he want to say that, you know, he's been set up? Or that he's working with the U.S. government, the criminals that run it. And I want to ask you that question. I mean, I know you've talked to a standby lawyer and others. Is he completely crazy? Does he think he's a secret agent? We know they've done that before. Are they threatening his family? Is it like McVeigh? I mean, who knows? But getting back to the last point you were going to make about that, the trial.
Yeah. So the hearing finished with Judge Edmonds saying we'll pick our final jury Thursday at 1:30, Thursday, you know, of last week. And we took a break, and I had to go back to my office, and I asked Anthony Chambers' assistant attorney, I said, look, you know, I haven't heard from your office in quite a while. Do you expect that I'll be called as a witness in this case? And he said, as of now, that has not been determined. And I said, okay. And then I said, well, I'll see you on Thursday. And I plan to come back Thursday to watch the final jury game pick. Now, on Thursday, I had a trial in one of my own cases here at the firm that lasted till 1 o'clock, and then I was going to go over and watch the final jury get picked. As I was leaving my trial, I got a text from my brother saying, I hear you're going to be testifying in the underwear bomber case. And I had no idea where that was coming from because I hadn't even heard that myself. So I called him, and what he said was, I just heard here on the radio in Florida that you're going to be testifying in the underwear bomber case. He said, you know, Anthony Chambers said in court this morning that you'll be testifying. And I said, really? Well, I'm going to try and find that out. I'm heading over there right now to watch final jury selection. So I started walking over to there. It was about four blocks away from the courthouse that I was at. And I ran into one of his office workers on the sidewalk. And I said, so what's this about me testifying? Something happened in court today. And he said, yeah. Umar said you're going to testify for him. And I was kind of shocked because my brother said it was Chambers. Remember, Umar is representing himself, so he has final say. So apparently, what he said was, you need to talk to Anthony Chambers about it for more detail. He's right there across the street. So I walked over to talk to him, and Anthony Chambers said, Judge Edmonds this morning asked Umar to provide a witness list, and Umar said, well, I don't have one ready. And then Judge Edmonds asked him, who do you intend to call? And he said, well, my only witness is going to be Attorney Haskell. So,
all right, let me just stop you right here, because I'm going to be honest. Saturday in Houston, listeners came over who were at the end of the Fed and said, you better get Haskell on. He's got some powerful info. And I said, you know, and the guy mentioned your blog and things. And then I just searched your name when I got home last night and saw the stuff about the questioning of the jurors. I thought that was the news, because you know, I'm busy like you are. I didn't know this. I've got to beg you back on the nightly news tonight. I wasn't even sure we needed you for both, because now we're out of time and we've got to break this here. I mean, this is big news. I had no idea. The underwear bomber who... I mean, obviously he knows it's come out that you really witnessed what happened. I mean, whoa, this is in a Twilight Zone. We've got to come back if you got the time. This has reached Twilight Zone level, Kurt. What is going on here? I didn't know this is my point.
I don't really know a whole lot yet. Like I said, I only talked to Anthony Chambers for a couple minutes on the sidewalk, and we agreed that I would meet with him in his office soon. Now, remember, the prosecution gets to put on their case first, and they indicated they're going to take about a month. So I probably won't be on the stand for till early November. So, you know, there's still going to be some time yet. But honestly, I'm absolutely stunned. I really did not think I would be called as a witness in this case with him representing himself. Now, I thought for sure I would be if Anthony Chambers took over the case. But he hasn't. He's still standby. So I'm absolutely stunned that the underwear bomber himself plans to call me not only as a witness, his only witness. So how ironic is this that someone that tried to blow up a plane with me on it, admittedly with a fake bomb, his life is now in my hands only. How ironic is that?
Incredible. Kurt, stay there. Just to finish up with this, and we'll have you back tonight. I mean, I knew you had a lot of breaking news, but this is insane. This underwear thing's like Fast and Furious. It could bring down the Justice Department. This is incredible, incredible. I should have been plugging this all day.
You take a mortal man and put him in control.
Watch the government become a god.
Watch him become a god.
Watch heads a roll.
Watch people's heads a roll.
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 That's Dave Mustaine, Megadeth. That's the one heavy metal band that if I listen to it, will actually play back in my head afterwards later. I mean, I can actually hear it. You can imagine your song you like or something, classical or whatever, but you can't actually like play it back, but Megadeth I can. I need to ask Dave why he thinks it has that effect on me. Very strange. Now, continuing here, ladies and gentlemen, with Kurt Haskell, we're going to have him on tonight so I can, I mean, something like this I should have built up. I should have known. I just had a listener come up and say, hey, he's got really big stuff. Check his blog. It's huge. What's happening with who's going to testify? You got to check it. I'm like, great, I will. Then I tell him last night, we're up for doing the Sunday show, I said, get Haskell. And then I kind of checked the blog. I didn't even notice that somehow. I mean, this is huge. The fact that he's saying he doesn't want a lawyer. He's got a standby lawyer sitting there. The media is saying he's going to go along with it and say he did it. And now, I guess they didn't get his meds right or whatever's going on. He has an outburst and says, Kurt Haskell. Whoa, ladies and gentlemen, the guy that saw them get him on the plane. Kurt, you're a trained lawyer, a smart guy. You called this from the beginning. Now it's all unfolding. This is like something out of a movie. I pray they don't pressure him or whatever, or showing pictures of his mama or whatever until he refuses to, you know, have you. But, you know, the fact that he said you're on the list, is there something in legal precedent where if you are a honest witness that somehow you can force your way in as a witness?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, I mean, let's say if he withdraws you later, I guess there's no way. I'm just rambling. This is insane.
It's up to Umar. He can change his mind and not call me. But as of now, he intends to call me again, not only as a witness, but his only witness. So how strange is that, Alex, that the underwear bomber who I've never talked to, never met, who tried to kill me, wants me to testify. Yet the prosecution not only doesn't want me to testify, has never even tried to contact me or talk to me ever. When I have firsthand eyewitness account of the definite accomplice to the underwear bomber that should be a person on the FBI's 10 most wanted.
Sir, and the AP isn't even quoting you correctly and out of context. You should do a formal grievance with this and force them to retract, because they took what you said out of context. You're there going, hey, I survived the bombing. They got him on the plane. It's admitted. And then they use your credibility to twist and push their official story when you are the guy. This should be national news, but it's not. You are the only witness he's planning on calling. I was watching a Fox News piece on this morning. Nothing about you, Kurt. I mean, everyone should be obsessed nationwide over the number one trial right now. And who is the underwear bomber going to call? It's you. I know a lot of stuff ran through your mind. What could be going on here?
I honestly don't know. I hate to speculate because, you know, if I speculate now about it, I could be grilled about it on the stand. So I don't really want to speculate about why I'm being called. You know, obviously the prosecution's going to go all out to try and paint me as some kind of crazy nut. So I got to really watch what I say. So I don't really want to speculate on why he's calling me, at least right now. But I want to say something back about the AP. Now, I talked to the AP again after the announcement Thursday that I would be testifying. I got back to my office, and I had a call again from Ed White. And here's me stupidly talking to the AP again. I said, Ed, you misquoted me twice in your article from Tuesday. I said, I'm only going to talk to you on one condition, that you accurately report what I say, every word, and don't cut or paste or twist my words around. So I talked to him again, and here's what he reports in his Thursday article, that I'm going to tell the court some wild story that I have about this. So as of Thursday, I'm done talking with the mainstream media, with a couple exceptions of the couple of reporters that have, you know, I think have been fair to reporting this article, which are very, very few reporters. So, you know, if you're not seeing me in the mainstream media for a while, it's my choice. I'm only talking to a couple of them. One will be Fox TV, though. I think they've been more than fair to me. So,
is that Fox Local?
Fox Local, yeah.
I was about to say, usually live local can be a lot more trusted. When you start at this level, having AP reporters come out of the woodwork, you can bet they've been hand-vetted and sent in there. And I think you're experiencing that. But you could use this. You can demand AP actually get it right. I mean, instead of quoting what you told him, he just construed it down into wild stories, which prejudices everything he says. I mean, that is outrageous.
It is outrageous. It's outrageous to the extent the media is going to cover up this story. This should be a bombshell front page story everywhere across the United States. And they're doing their best to hide it, not cover it at all, and paint me as a nut. Well, you know what? You're not going to be able to paint me as a nut. So good luck trying. I'm gonna tell the truth, and I'm going to expose everything that there is in this case. You know, whether the media reports on it or not, it's going to be on the record. And, you know, people may be shocked that the underwear bomber actually gets a verdict of not guilty instead of guilty. But you know what? The man, even if the man tried to kill me, he deserves a fair trial. He doesn't deserve to go to life in prison because, you know, the evidence not being presented fairly in the case.
Well, the issue is he was gotten on the airplane. Those are all accomplices or potential accomplices. The cover-up is proof that they are the accomplices. I mean, we have the Undersecretary of State in sworn congressional testimony saying an unnamed agency told him to help the underwear bomber. I mean, that is absolute proof right there that there needs to be a serious public discourse about this. And then you add the absconding, all this cover-up going on. I mean, that is definite evidence. And I know you don't like to speculate, but this could be like Fast and Furious. This could bring them down. Go ahead.
It could actually be bigger, Alex, if you start pulling at the string of the ball of yarn, because, you know, you start looking at these things one step at a time. Okay, well, we have a so-called terrorist. Okay, well, now we have an admission that he was put on the plane intentionally. Okay, now we have evidence that he had a fake bomb, which is going to come out in testimony, the experts that are going to testify. Okay, so where did he get his fake bomb? Well, obviously it was given to him by, you know, an undercover agent of the U.S. government. Okay, so now we have that. We also have admissions that Anwar al-Awlaki was involved in this plot. Well, how is he involved if it's a fake plot by undercover U.S. intelligence officers? Okay, I guess he's also undercover U.S. intelligence officer. If we have that, then, you know, is bin Laden also an undercover U.S. intelligence officer? You can see where this is going, Alex. You just keep pulling the string, and pretty soon everything unravels. That's how big of a story this could be. Huge. Huge.
Well, absolutely. I've been out of the loop because I've been driving around, you know, Texas protesting the Fed, and a listener said, hey, Haskell's got some big stuff. You better get him on. And then I'm like an ignorant buffoon talking about Fast and Furious with you. And you go, oh, by the way, one more thing. And Kurt Nimmo just came in here and said, no, it's in the local paper this morning. So I guess this is national news that you're the only witness that he's saying he's going to call. And you'd think every media station out there would want to put you on live. But you notice they're not doing that because they want to just have the AP call up and twist everything you've said. Man, this is, I'm going to tell you something, Kurt. I'm going to be honest. I'm not trying to scare you. I know you say all they can do is kill you. And I got the same position here in my life. Once you know this evil's going on, you instinctively, spiritually, whatever you want to call it, know it's got to be faced down, especially when it happens to you individually. But I got a chill when you announced that. And I was like a deer in the headlights here for your safety and for Mutalib, because whatever they're pressuring him with, and I don't like to speculate, but I've got a pretty, I know you've, seems like you're smarter than I am in some way, so I wish you would speculate, because, I mean, I'm trying to put my finger on this, but whatever pressure they've got on him isn't working, whoever they're threatening in his family, or he's figuring out he's been set up, because they do that a lot with these type people, because I've seen so many of these in history, not just in our country, but other countries. We know there's a playbook, and so I would follow playbooks of past patsies, McVeigh, Lee Harvey Oswald, folks like that. You start getting a really Sirhan, a really clear image of how they're going to pull this. and how they've profiled him and what they've done. But you two guys, I'm going to tell you right now, Kurt, I'm not trying to scare you and your wife. You know this. You need everybody's prayers right now. And you also, you're not suicidal, correct, Kurt?
No, Alex, I'm not suicidal.
You would never commit suicide?
No, never.
Okay. And I'm sorry to even raise this, but I mean, I mean, I really feel the danger level here.
No, I understand. I understand where you're coming from, especially with the case of the DC madam and some of these other cases. So I know where you're coming from.
Well, you know what, though? You're so public now that it's just, wow. Wow.
Right,
so,
but the question is, how is the prosecution plan on handling this? Obviously, I present a huge problem to them. So, you know, I think that's a legitimate question I have.
Well, take the anthrax attack. They tried to frame three patsies. Didn't work. So the fourth guy they grabbed, they took to a government psychiatric facility. He ODs on prescription Tylenol while he's in straitjacket. And now it's come out that he was completely innocent. And world authorities are coming out saying it's totally fake. So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about with the feds, man. They are, they do these botched things like launching the anthrax attack, First World Trade Center attack, all of it, and then they go to any end to get their patsy nailed. But now you've got Fast and Furious. It just, the difference is 10 years ago, they still had some credibility. They have no credibility with people, Kurt.
Well, no credibility with people that are paying attention.
Yeah,
a great deal of the population of the United States doesn't pay any attention. So, you know, they still have some credibility with those that just put their head in the sand.
God almighty. Folks, I don't know if Kurt even wants me to do this, but Kurt, would you be happy for folks out there to pray for you?
Oh, sure, Alex.
Well, I found it really, it does good. And also write about you. Give us your blog, because I think the safest thing here is to get you as much attention as possible. Give your blog out for folks.
Sure. HaskellFamily.blogspot.com.
All right, Kurt. I know I've been basically just dumbfounded here by this announcement on air that everybody else seemed to know. Anything else you'd like to add before you join us tonight and kind of recap this on the nightly news?
Just one last thing. You know, I found something else out over the weekend that the prosecutor's office that is handling this case, the last terrorism case that they handled, Cutrini was the guy's last name, was overturned on appeal because the prosecutor's office hid evidence from the defense during the trial. And I've seen two pretrial hearings already where the prosecutors have attempted to not turn over evidence to the defense in this case. So I just thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if they've got a lone nut pop doing this with a firecracker in his pants, why not just go with that? All of this covering up and twisting, I mean, and there's so much of it. I forget in Latin where covering up something is called the highest form of proof. In some cases, it's even higher than eyewitness. What is that Latin term? Do you remember that, Kurt?
No, I don't.
Somebody will email it to me. All right, we'll talk to you tonight, sir. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
No problem, Alex.
Wow, I am just, man, I tell you, this is crazy. And I'm glad Kurt Haskell trusts us enough to come on this show when he's not talking to the rest of the media. Yeah, here it is, Chicago Tribune. Lawyer may testify for defense in terror case. You know, more and more I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I'm going to be honest. More and more stuff's just getting so weird. And all the people I'm talking to and that you're listening to, I mean, when does it end? I want the government to not be terrorist. I want... Hey, Kurt, come on in, buddy. I'm sorry. I know I asked you to come up here and I need to put a speakerphone in here. What's going on, Commander? Oh, yeah. Hey, how's it going on that article about head of Federal Reserve Security? Okay. My computer must cache forever. I knew it'd be up. I just keep hitting refresh, refresh, refresh. I think that's a really big article. I got all this news I want to cover, and I'm so exhausted. I don't even want to cover it. Oh, there it is. Head of security at San Antonio Fed admits institution is private. Head of security at San Antonio Fed admits institution is private. Well, that is a big deal, because when that cop was standing next to him and the guy admitted that it was private, the cop was like, what? All these years, the cops are told that we're crazy because we said that. There's no end to this. It's all a false reality, man.
Yeah, the only thing is I couldn't find his name, so we don't know what his name is. It's not in the video.
All right. Well, I thought he said, you got to talk to Captain.
Captain didn't say his name because I don't think he knew that. San Antonio cop didn't know the guy's name.
No, I looked it up. I think his name's on there.
Okay. I'll try.
It doesn't matter. Why don't you just call down there? Oh, it's a holiday.
I got voicemail.
It's a holiday. Call tomorrow. It doesn't matter.
There's the sign at the Dallas Fed. It says private property.
It says Captain Nemo. That's the first comment. Everybody knows they are private. Well, that's original. We'll call you Captain Nemo. So as Fed admits the truth, hell of a long story for the news that does nothing to change the situation. Yeah, it's your fault that we're here working hard and exposing this just because this guy... Just because this guy already knows it means everybody else does. People think by osmosis. Like all the time some news breaks and I get emails going, you piece of filth, you didn't report this. I'm like, well, thank you for letting me know.
Most people, it's not even on
their radar. Pick the mic up.
It's not even on their radar screen for most people, you know? They don't know it. But yeah, these are the kind of comments we get. That's okay.
Well, Kurt, you deserve it. I mean, you're a bad person.
I am. I'm terrible.
I mean, it's all your fault.
But there's the proof right there. There's a photo of this private property right there. Bingo.
Oh, it's nothing. I bet that guy's a paid shill. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, we could have the Virgin Mary set down in front of him and make him a pasta dinner and they wouldn't, you know, care. We could have space aliens land in this guy's backyard. He wouldn't care. Head of security at San Antonio Fed admits institution is private. Amazing. And we got to call up Dave to change the headline because I was wrong when I said that guy was a cop. A cop's there, but that's the head of their security. Thank you, Kurt. I appreciate you coming in here. Good job on that. All right. We'll come back and take some calls. I got a bunch of news I got to get to, too, on Obama. Maybe I'll go into overdrive, but I am so exhausted, man. It just beat me to death going to those protests this weekend. I'm sure going to UFC wouldn't. All right, this is a big, big deal, and I cannot do justice to this in the time we have left today. But Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, again this weekend, New York Post, you name it, are all, including Rahm Emanuel, are saying, yeah, Obama may not be able to be reelected. Basically, they're all saying it's his fault. This is a teleprompter reading, CIA manufactured nobody. Just like George W. Bush was a nobody. Bill Clinton was a nobody. These are nobodies. These are front men. Shields, the New World Order picks up, and they take all the blame. They throw the shield down. That's why I'm going after the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve wants to make you go after Wall Street. That's a totally different animal than the Federal Reserve. Wall Street's just American publicly traded companies. That's like you're trying to kill one person in Dallas, so you nuke the whole city. No, I want to go directly to the problem. And as much as I hate Obama and Bush, I mean, they're all unsavory, sellout, fake pieces of trash. I mean, I hate these teleprompter readers on the news, but they're not my enemy. They're just a rancid little sellout person. I actually feel sorry for them. They never experienced truth. They never experienced honor. All they've experienced is a bunch of knuckle-dragging, ladder-climbing, sellout behavior. Thank God we're not with those timid, pathetic vassals. That's why it makes me so mad when Fox News and the media, they've done it repeatedly now, say, Alex Jones wants to come to work with us, but we don't want him. See, they need you to think they're special and got something you want. I don't want to drink a bucket of rotten vomit. That's what Fox News is. That's like some... Oh, it makes me want to throw up. Makes me want to throw up. And they're there nailing Obama right now because they want you to think he did all this. The Federal Reserve, the globalists, David Rockefeller, Queen Beatrix, Lord Rothschild, they did it. They're the ones that did it. You got all this big banker-funded attack on the free market. The big bankers don't want a free market. And so everybody's like, woo, I hear all these neocons on radio. Woo, we're beating Obama. Woo, boy, we're really getting him. You're like kids beating a pinata, thinking you're really beating up a Tyrannosaurus Rex or whatever it is. I was driving by one day and saw kids look like a Frankenstein pinata, and they're all beating it. You know, little kid, I'm beating them. I'm beating the real monster. No, you're not. I don't want to play games with some teleprompter reading nobody. Now, when he was built up at first as a symbol to sell evil, I said, he's a puppet. We got to pull him down. But it doesn't mean now we all get into, ooh, we had a victory. Ooh, Obama's going down. How about the crooks at the Justice Department who are there no matter who's in office? How about all those crooks that ship drugs in here? How about they get in trouble? How about the Federal Reserve banks that launder the money? How about they get in trouble? That's cold-blooded to make drugs illegal. So you get higher profits and then have long prison sentences for the low-level drug dealers that bought drugs from you. And then they get out of the prison with a 4 to 10 year degree in crime to go run scams on me and my family. And then the drug dealers that run the country try to pass legislation to take my guns so I can't protect myself from the zombie drug head criminals you created through your social engineering, the same way you brought down China with opium. I mean, I've studied history. I got your number. I got it. You understand? I got it. I see you. I see you. And I'm going to get as many people as I can to see you. I know people won't be mad at me. I wanted to hear from you. I tried to take a lot of calls today. I did okay. I'm not going to do 5 minutes overdrive. I'm too exhausted. The only reason I'm telling you I'm exhausted is because I'm not, you know, I'm kind of leaning on the rails here. I'll be back with the news tonight, 7 o'clock, and I'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless you all. PrisonPlanet.tv tonight, 7 o'clock.